For a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus our Lord and Savior is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Someday I will watch my last sunset, and I'll stand at the foot of that last long hill. I'll be trading my cross for a resting place in a land where the river's running still. I'll be trading my cabin for a mansion in the sky on the day when I hill.
Someday I will walk my last valley, and I'll climb that last mountain so high, and I'll say goodbye for the last time, and I'll go to my home far beyond the sky.
I'll be trading my cross for a resting place in a land where the river's running still. I'll be trading my cabin for a mansion in the sky on the day when I climb that last hill. On the day
when one has a relationship with God, you will find out that after a while that he has to fight to keep that relationship going, because there are many, many people who will try to trip him up. There is a lot of demonic activity all around to take away that relationship. The Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, he prayed this prayer, "I pray not that thou should keep them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil." So God wants us to live amongst the world's situation, amongst the world's population, but he doesn't want us to be part with it. I'm not talking about not associating with anybody, but keeping yourselves clean and holy from their advances, and keep yourselves on the straight and narrow, which can sometimes be a problem if you are not careful. Because the Bible teaches us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 in verse 17, "Wherefore come out from amongst them, be you separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and it will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord." You cannot separate yourself from people. We know that the Catholic monks and the nuns would lock themselves up in monasteries trying to keep themselves from the world. That's not how it works, because God says you are the salt of the earth and you need to be amongst the people where the salt does the good that it's supposed to. A salt in a salt shaker is useless. And that is the same thing with God's people. If you're locked away in some religious organization, if you're locked away in some monastery and you can't be amongst the people and talk to them about God, or they seeing that there's something different about you, then it does not work. We need to understand that. But we as Christians cannot give in to the temptation of aligning ourselves with the unbeliever, because it wouldn't take long. We are going to accept their conditions. You can see that in many churches when it comes to homosexuality. It's unbelievable what we're seeing everywhere. People are just succumbing to the whims and the wiles of the devil. So we need to understand, if you back off, if you back a little bit, if you compromise a little bit, it doesn't take long, you are in full force capitulating your ideas and allowing the things of Satan to rule in your life. Because the idea of Satan is to try to destroy you from being a witness to those around you. He'll do whatever he can to sabotage your walk with Christ or your ministry. He will use the socialist agenda that many of the churches are preaching today. We have to get along with everybody, they say. We have to make sure that we love one another. No, what we have to make sure is that everyone knows the way of salvation and to preach the principles of God. Today I will teach on this interesting subject, and I will give you scriptures and some revelations on how people operated in the Bible when it came to things like that. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus, and I pray, Lord, that you will open people's hearts and eyes to the signs of the times. I thank you for your grace, and I ask you to anoint this message and bless the listener in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody who studies the Bible will remember the relationship between King Jehoshaphat of Judah and King Ahab of Israel. Many of us remember the lying prophets that told King Ahab to go out and fight the Syrians, and then Jehoshaphat asked for a true servant of God, and he came and told them that they would be scattered and killed all over the mountains. And King Ahab locked that prophet up. But at the same time, when he went to war, he was destroyed. He was killed. That's when King Ahab met his end. And Jehoshaphat, he fled from the battle scene because the Syrians were destroying them left and right. And he came to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, a prophet of God met him and ask him why he hung out with those who hate God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 19 in verse 1, it tells us, "And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, 'Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, and in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and preparest thy heart to seek God.'" So Jehoshaphat made a pact, or became friends, or hung out with King Ahab. And the prophet admonished him and told him that he was hanging out with ungodly people, with people who hated God. And the wrath of God was going to come upon him, but at the same time, because you are against witchcraft, you took down the groves in the land, that's where they were worshiping Satan, and you have prepared your heart to seek God, then the Lord will do good to you. And when we study the story of King Jehoshaphat, it's totally different from King Ahab. King Ahab died. His whole family was wiped out. We all remember the story of Jezebel, Queen Jezebel. She was thrown from a window. All her children were destroyed, and they were totally eradicated from Israel. But Jehoshaphat, he was in Judah. There were two separate kingdoms in those days. His kingdom was good. He prospered. God prospered him. Even when the enemies came to try, far bigger force than he had, even when they came, his worshiping God and his operating in holiness saved that whole nation from being destroyed. So we need to understand, if we hang out with the ungodly, we're going to fall into different types of temptations and problems. But if we turn away from the ungodly, if we do not accept their company when they are ungodly, we will prosper. This is what God is trying to tell us. And there are many, many Christians who are falling into the traps of the world system, and they need to find out where they have gone wrong and turn back to the God that saved them. It tells us in Psalm chapter 1 in verse 1 and 2, "Blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night." If you belong to Jesus, this is what should be in your heart, the law of God. You do not walk in counsel with the ungodly. You do not operate with sinners. You do not agree with their strange ideas, because God is your God, and he will make things work with you. When it comes to business, many, many Christian businessmen are now joining the world system in how to do business. It seems like it goes on and on. God will have to somehow change the way things are done. And that can only be done by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse 33, it tells us, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness. Sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God." And that is how it works. They don't have the knowledge of God. So God wants you to stay away from corrupt communications. Awake to righteousness. We should change what's going on. I used to tell my children when they went to school, do not allow the school kids to influence you. You need to influence them. And that's what I tried to do when I was working in the secular world. Regardless who I worked with, I would tell them about Jesus. I used to drive truck, and regardless who drove with me, we were always driving team. Every 24 hours, we had to do our logbooks, and I made sure that we called upon the Lord and prayed for a good day, whether they were unbelievers or not. And I know I changed many of their hearts, because at the end of the trip, they would understand that God was with me. Yes, God will use you if you dare to step out and be his representative here on earth. He wants you to do that. This is why we are here. This is why he says, I do not want you, O Father, to take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the world. We need the salt of God here on earth. In Galatians chapter 6, in verse 7, it tells us this, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. When we look at the teachers and the preachers of yesteryear, we can see that many of God's children, of God's ministers, succumbed to the things of this world. Many lost their ministries because they fell into the sin. First you succumb, first you start flirting with sin, and then you get involved with the sin of this world. And then God has to take the ministry you are in and take it away from you. And that happened to quite a few preachers in the last 50 years. And we're going to see more and more exposed who are not living for God, pretending to be the ministers of God, as we get closer to the coming back of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we get into the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, we will see thick ministers being revealed. We will see them being exposed in how they operated. Let it not be one of us. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In Galatians chapter 5 in verse 22, it tells us, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I want to ask a question here. Do you have joy and peace in your heart? Does God work in your heart where there is tranquility, where you are at peace with yourself? When I read these things here of Galatians chapter 2, many of them are outward manifestation, meekness, kindness, goodness. But I want to say this, if you have joy and peace in your heart, then these other manifestations will reveal themselves. So this is where we have to start. And that's the joy and peace that a person needs to have in his heart. When we look at what's going on all over the world today, do you have joy and peace as far as this pandemic is concerned? Do you understand that God is going to bring joy and peace to you regardless in what situation you're in? Do you have that relationship? This is the most important part of Christian life, having peace in your heart and joy, knowing that things are going to be all right with you. We need to understand these things. We need to operate in holiness and keep our hearts from evil so that that joy and peace will manifest. So let the Lord open your heart to these things and make you a blessing to yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Today I want to bring a word of encouragement to those who love the Lord, those who are looking on the world scene and are wondering what's going to take place. We can see that Saskatchewan, Alberta, and BC are already opening up. Their mask restrictions are gone and things are starting to look up as far as the economy is concerned. Yes, here in Manitoba, we still got a bit of a problem, but that's going to go away too, like in the rest of Canada, because God has a purpose for us. He will not allow us to be locked down in a socialist country like many, many of the politicians are trying to bring about. God has a way of wakening up his people. When we look at what's happening in the States, we can see the confusion that is mounting. We can see more and more evidence of the fraudulent situations that are going on there, and God is revealing it. So all we need to do is stand and wait upon the Lord. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 in verse 15, Jehoshaphat had the same problem. Yes, that's the Jehoshaphat that made friends with King Ahab. His kingdom was surrounded by the Moabites and the Amorites. They were going to exterminate them. They were going to kill everybody. And Jehoshaphat cried out to God. And then the Lord answered them from 2 Chronicles chapter 20 in verse 15. And he said, "Hearken you, all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by their reason of their great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself. Stand you still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not. Be not dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." So here they were, terribly afraid. They knew what was going to happen if God allowed it. They didn't have enough strength to come against the evil that was there. And this I can say with Canada. The Christians and most of the people didn't have much strength when it came to fight against the government. But God is in control. He will fight for those who call upon the name of the Lord. And what did the Jehoshaphat do when God told them to go out against the enemy? They brought singers and worshipers out in front of the army. And by the time they came to the battlefield, all of the enemy had killed themselves.
And this is exactly what is happening right now. As God's people are praying, as God's people are interceding, the enemy is becoming confused and starting to turn against itself. We will see this whole coronavirus, this whole mask thing, being destroyed by God himself. Yes, this is a promise from God, and he will do it. Yes, we will see mighty signs and wonders and miracles. I've been preaching that over the last 10 years, over the last 5 years. But we're starting to see it coming into fruition. God had to bring this upon his people so that they will wake up to the signs of the times. Many of God's children were asleep. Now they're waking up. Now they see how things could turn out if God would allow it. At Sodom and Gomorrah, they were destroyed. At the flood, they were all destroyed. And the reason was this. They had nobody to intercede for them. Yes, Noah tried, but he was only one. Yes, Abraham tried, but he was only one. But here in North America, we have hundreds of thousands of born-again believers who love the Lord, who will turn the tide of the battle, and we will see victory yet. So don't be dismayed. Just stand and wait and see the goodness of God. So let the Lord open your heart to this and become a blessing to those around you. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. You can also reach us online at reachingoutministries.com. That's reachingoutministries.com.